Take your Bibles this morning and turn to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 11. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 11. I will begin reading in verse 46. Luke, chapter 11, verse 46. One of the lawyers had, lawyers in this particular passage of Scripture is talking about those that taught or instructed in the law of God. Those were the lawyers that are being mentioned here. They're not the kind of lawyers that we think about today in our court system. These were actually theologians. They were to instruct and discern the law of God to the people. They were to instruct the people in the laws of God. So when I read lawyer here, don't get in mind the legal system of our day. Verse 46. Woe unto you also, you lawyers, for ye laid men with burdens grievous to be borne, and you yourselves touch not the burdens with one of your fingers. Woe unto you, for ye build the sepulchre of the prophets, and your fathers killed them. Truly, ye bear witness that ye allow the deeds of your fathers, for they indeed killed them, and ye build their sepulchres. Therefore also said the wisdom of God, I will send them prophets and apostles, and some of them they shall slay and persecute, that the blood of all the prophets, which was shed from the foundation of the world, may be required of this generation. From the blood of Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, which perished between the altar and the temple, verily I say unto you, it shall be required of this generation. Woe unto you lawyers, for you have taken away the key of knowledge. You enter not in yourselves, and them that were entering in you hindered. I want to speak to you about the key of knowledge. These lawyers that Jesus was rebuking, they had the key of knowledge, it says in these particular passages of Scripture. But they were taking it away, or they were preventing the people from coming to the knowledge of the truth. I believe the gospel of Jesus Christ, the message that we declare, the message that we preach to lost sinners, is a simple message. Paul wrote in, I believe it's 2 Corinthians, he said in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3, he said, I fear lest it, by any means you should be deceived, like Eve was deceived. He said, so that your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. There's a simplicity in the gospel of Jesus Christ that people have departed from. I believe the gospel of Jesus Christ should be made plain. When we don't make the gospel of Jesus Christ plain, then we are withholding the key of knowledge. Actually, I believe Jesus was telling these lawyers that they were preventing people from entering the kingdom of heaven. They were not fully informing the people as to the true purpose of the law. Now, when you read in the 11th chapter of Luke, there were several things that transpired. And as I was studying this, I thought of how that they were theologically preventing people from coming to know the true God. They had corrupted many of the truths concerning not only theology, the study of God, But I'm convinced that there was a wrong understanding of anthropology. That people can have the wrong concept of themselves and die lost. If you don't come to the realization that you are a lost, condemned sinner, you will never be saved. You must be lost before you can be found. See, the Bible tells us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. In the third chapter of the book of Romans, the Bible teaches us that we have all transgressed the law of God. That we are by natures sinners. That we are the children of wrath. That we deserve the damnation and the condemnation of hell because we have done things contrary to God. Actually, we have sinned against God. And the Bible says, Ezekiel said, under the divine inspiration of the Holy Ghost, he, the soul that sinneth, shall die. Now keep in mind, death in the Bible does not mean an annihilation or ceasing to exist. The word death in the Scriptures means separation. In order for you to understand that particular passage of Scripture and many other passages of Scripture which has reference to death, is to understand death in light of the scriptural teaching, in light of the definition found in God's Word, that you are separated from God. Now, those of us that have been saved, we understand being separated from God. We felt separated from God. We sensed that separation from God when we heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. That Jesus is the only mediator between man and God. There's just one mediator between man and God, and that's the man Christ Jesus. In order for you to be saved, you must come to the Savior. Now, there's a lot of people today that have a wrong concept of salvation. And these lawyers, these theologians, as I think is a more appropriate term to be used, they were confusing people. One of the things that was kind of confusing is that they were, in these particular passages of Scripture, they were saying that they were committed to God but weren't really doing the will of God. They were telling others to bear these particular burdens, but they themselves would not so much as lift their finger to aid or help. They were causing confusion, I believe, because their lives did not correspond with the teaching of God's Word. Listen, if we preach the gospel, our lives must correspond with the Word of God. If we don't, the Bible says, Paul said that we would be just a symbol. We would just be a noise, a clanker, a clutter. We would not actually be lit. People would not listen to us if our lives didn't align with the will of God. He tells us in these particular passages of Scripture there was not only some degree of corruption, there was a lack of commitment, their lives did not correspond, there wasn't a consistency in what they said and what they did. Notice here, they were elevating the prophets, they were building sepulchers to the prophets, but at the same time were praising those that martyred the prophets. That's a contradiction, isn't it? They were praising the prophets of old and yet at the same time praising those that persecuted them. People, we need to be consistent with what we say and what we do. Amen. We're either on God's side or we're on the devil's side. Listen, the two never agree. Evil and good, evil and righteousness never come together. And there was confusion that was being caused in that day, and that same confusion exists today. People, we need to be serving the Lord. We need to be working for the Lord. We need to stay close to the Lord. We need to be praying and working for Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. And in so doing, we become a conduit. We produce or we provide a spiritual atmosphere for sinners to be saved. I believe where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. I believe there's liberty not just to testify. I believe there's liberty for sinners to seek God and be saved. Amen. Yes, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Now, when we study these particular passages of Scripture, it tells us that these theologians, and I believe today there's a lot of misconceptions concerning the understanding of man. Man did not evolve from apes. God created the heavens and the earth. He created man. We are a creation of God. And we sin. We transgress the law of God. Adam in the Garden of Eden, he transgressed the law of God and plunged the whole human race into sin. And every person that's born into this world of a father is a sinner. Jesus was not born of a father. Well, he had a heavenly father. Amen. But Mary was conceived of the Holy Ghost. But there was confusion. There was a lack of commitment. They were taking away the key of knowledge. People were perishing because they did not come to know the true and living God through the preaching that they were doing. Listen, We still believe that the preaching of the cross, it's foolishness to those that perish. But to those of us that have been saved, it is the power of God unto salvation. We preach the gospel, and we need to keep the gospel simple. We need to tell people plainly and clearly that they must know the Lord. They must experience a work of grace in their hearts, amen, or they're lost and doomed for a devil's hell. That's simple, amen. It's plain, and it needs to be preached plain. The gospel is that Jesus died, that He was crucified on a cross for the sins of mankind, that He was the substitutionary atonement for sin, that He actually, literally, personally took our place at Calvary. Yes, He is our substitute. He paid the sin debt that we could not pay. He was the perfect Lamb of God. He was sacrificed there at Calvary that we might go free. He suffered and died because of our sins. Our sins were laid upon Jesus. That's why He died. You want to know who crucified Jesus? You did. Your sins hung Jesus on the cross. And it must be that personal. It must be that real. And when the gospel is preached, when the Holy Spirit convicts you of sin and makes you aware, when you're able to come to the knowledge of the true facts concerning your soul, that your soul is separated from God because of sin. Sin separates you from God. It was Isaiah that said in the 59th chapter of Isaiah, that it was our sins that separated us from God. He said, the arm of the Lord is not short that it cannot save, nor is ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your sins have caused God to turn His face from you. The only way that you can receive the blessings of God is to have your sins canceled. You must be set free from sin in order to know God and to experience His grace. The blessings of God come to us through Jesus Christ and through Jesus Christ alone. So, they were taking this key of knowledge. They had this key of knowledge. How about Jesus was saying that they were taking it away from the people. They were causing people to hear other things. They were preaching other things rather than preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. We live in a day like that today, don't we? I've never heard so much health, wealth, and prosperity stuff preached in all of my life. Have you? Huh? Don't fall into that stuff. Listen, Jesus came to make you spiritually wealthy. Amen. Yeah. Yeah. He came to save your soul. Not buy you a new car. Right? Or a big house. Jesus came to set you free from sin to where you can have a fellowship and a relationship with God. We need to quit hearing so many sermons on 5 points of prosperity and start hearing some sermons about sin and about Jesus and about the sacrifice and about the Holy Ghost. Amen? Yeah, yeah. They were presenting things that they were taking away the key of knowledge. The Word of God needs to be preached. When God called me 25 years ago, I was in a stacker crane on Southeastern Avenue. I was 17 years of age. I was about 20 feet off the floor. The Holy Ghost spoke to me so clearly and said to preach the Word. And that's what I've been trying to do, is preach the Word. People, we must embrace the truth, the Word of God. I can preach to you my opinion or Brother Barry's opinion or the opinions of the world, but it won't save souls. We need the Word of God preached. The Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. The Hebrew writer said in Hebrews 4:12 that it's able to pierce to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. It's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. It will cut to the very soul of a person, and it will cause them, the Hebrew writer said, to realize that God knows your sins. How He knows your condition, and that ought to alarm you. If you could see yourself today as God sees you, And if you've not been saved, and the Holy Spirit shows you that, the Holy Spirit reveals that to you, you will seek the Lord with all of your heart today. Amen. True knowledge of God. Is it important? Yes, it's important. It's important for us to present Jesus Christ for who He really is. He's God. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16 tells us, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. God was seen of angels. God was preached among the Gentiles. God was believed upon the world. God was caught up in glory. Jesus Christ is God. Amen. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. People are dying lost because they do not believe in the deity of Jesus Christ. Jesus needs to be presented to this world as the Bible declares Him, as we know Him. There was nothing that was created without Him. Amen. John told us that in John chapter 1 and Colossians, Paul informed us concerning Jesus being involved in the creation of this world. He is Jehovah God. Amen. Next time some Jehovah Witnesses come to your doorstep, you tell them if they don't believe Jesus Christ, Jehovah God, they're going to die and go to hell. Amen. Amen. There are many teachings that remove the knowledge that's needed in order for people to be saved. Jesus was chiding these theologians of His day because they were presenting things that was preventing people from entering the kingdom of God. Our gospel here at Victory Church needs to be made simple. It needs to be made plain. What we believe and what we practice, we hope that you come here and you understand what we believe and we practice. There's a lot of people that come in and they leave. They just can't stand what we believe and practice. But the fact of the matter is that we believe that people must be born again of the Spirit of God. That the wind bloweth where it listeth, thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. There must be a divine spiritual experience in your heart that lets you know that you pass from death into life. And if you've not experienced that, if that's not happened to you, you have not been saved. Amen. That's what we believe. Amen. We know that man is complicated. The Bible says and makes it real clear to us that our ways are wrong. There's a way that seems right, but that way that seems right is the wrong way. There's a way that seems right in the eyes of man, but that way is death. Jesus is the way. And until you lay hold of Jesus Christ, you have not been saved. He must be your Savior. He must be the source of it. He must be the theme of it. He must be the one that caused the forgiveness of sin to take place in your heart and your life. I'm not ashamed of what we believe and practice. Amen. Jeremiah said that man is very complicated. That the heart is desperately wicked above all things. I believe it's Jeremiah chapter 17. Desperately wicked above all things. Who can know it? We can't understand even our own depraved nature. We're depraved. Children, you're depraved. You'll mix yourself up. You can deceive yourself. You need God. You need Jesus. Jesus is the truth. We understand how mixed up and how confused our own spirits or hearts or souls are. We know that there are times that we try to come to Jesus, but we really don't repent when we come to Jesus. And you can't be saved unless you repent. Yeah. I mean, you have to go down to the end of yourself, right? I mean, you come to the end of yourself, and where you surrender your all to Jesus, you must believe with all of your heart. You won't get me to baptize you until you believe with all of your heart. Yeah, I'm like, Philip, you've got to have a testimony. You've got to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ with all of your heart. I don't care how many times the church votes. The presbytery laid their hands on me and ordained me an elder. I reserve the right to baptize people. I mean, you can claim and call church authority all you want to. You still can't make me do it. You must be saved first.
Amen.
And of course, this church wouldn't even vote somebody to be baptized unless they're saved first. How about we need to be sticklers about some of these things? People have to be saved. They must be born again of the Spirit of God. They must have the well of water springing up in their hearts into everlasting life. We understand that man is confused and complicated, and there are times that he must seek the Lord. And what we advise people to do is seek the Lord till you find Him.
Amen.
If it takes you a night and a day, if it takes you a night and a day and two or three other days, if it takes you a week or a month, however long it takes, you seek the Lord till you know that you know you're saved. God calls upon man to seek Him out. Seek me while I may be found. Call upon me while I'm near. Isaiah chapter 55, read it for yourself. God speaks. He spoke through the prophet Isaiah, through the Holy Ghost, and said, seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He's near. Let the wicked forsake his ways and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Turn to God and God will show you mercy. God will abundantly pardon. Amen. And that's the way it happened to me. Just like the Word says, I called on the Lord. I sought the Lord with all of my heart. I called upon His name. I believed in the Lord Jesus Christ and I found abundant pardon. Man, I tell you, there is nothing any greater, any better than having your sin debt canceled, than to have your sins washed away. My friend, when you have your sins canceled and you have your sins washed away, you know it.
Amen.
I believe in a no-so salvation.
Amen.
You know, there's a lot of people that are trusting in many various things. I want to make it clear today. I don't want to be one of those that hinder someone from coming into the kingdom of God. I don't want to have the key of knowledge yet lock somebody out. At the wedding rehearsal Friday night, I wasn't going to tell this. I'll tell this on Angie anyway. But here we were going through the rehearsal. I was with the, you know, I was with the best man. I was with the groom, and we were locked away in this room, and my cell phone rings. I'm thinking, who is this? Looking, it's my wife, and she's supposed to be out in the audience. And I pick it up and she says, hey, I'm locked outside the church. And this was a big church. Had many doors. And I said, well, which door are you standing outside of? Of course, it's Memphis. Not a real good area of town. It was getting dark. She says, I need you to let me in. And she told me where she was at. And I went out there to that back part of the door and tried to open it. And it was locked. We needed a key. I believe faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Children, if you don't listen to the gospel of Jesus Christ, if you don't listen to the preaching of the cross, you cannot be saved.
Amen.
You can go to church all of your life and turn away the gospel. You can go to church all of your life and tune out the preaching of the cross. You must listen. You must listen with your not only your mind, but you must listen with your heart. Because I believe when the gospel is preached, the Holy Ghost will speak to you and cause you to realize that this thing is greater than the preacher. It's greater than the church. It's greater than mom and dad. It's God working in our hearts and our lives. God probing our souls. When you experience God probing your soul, you'll know it. When Paul was talking to the people at Corinth in the 15th chapter of Corinthians, he said, when I was there, I preached to you the gospel. He said, by which also you are saved. Verse 2, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We were speaking to those two fellows. I won't even say who they were. We were speaking to two fellows and they said, we don't use the term saved. And I'm thinking, man, I'm glad I do. I'm glad the Word of God does. Paul said, I preached you the stuff that caused you to be saved. How that Jesus Christ died on the cross according to the Scriptures. How He was buried. buried and resurrected according to the Scriptures. Amen. We need that kind of preaching going on. Plain preaching of Jesus being lifted up. Jesus told Nicodemus there in the 3rd chapter of John. He said, if I be lifted up, He said, I will draw all men unto Me. And He went on and said that whosoever believeth in Me should not perish, but have everlasting life. He told him clearly that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He told him that he that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed the only begotten Son of God. And He says, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into darkness, and men love darkness rather than light, because if they come to the light, He said, their deeds would be reproved, because their deeds were evil. He says, for everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, and neither cometh to the light, lest their deeds should be reproved. My friend, it's very important for you to listen how to what Jesus said. He said the reason that you've not come to the Lord Jesus Christ is because your deeds are evil. We lift up Jesus. You know, it used to bother me somewhat that in my preaching, There seemed to be, when I gave the invitation for sinners to seek the Lord, such a spiritual resistance. You preachers know what I'm talking about. You know, somebody can get up and preach a candy-coated sermon, and they'll have these hundreds of people come forward, and you're like, you know, man, I know God is with us. I know God is working. I can feel it. I can sense it. Can't you? And the intensity of an invitation, it bothers me. I see young people, children that you would think would be tenderhearted, would resist. I mean, the parents would know, people around them would know, God's working on this person. Huh? I mean, God's convicting this person. You can see it in their countenance how God is working. And yet there's such a resistance, an overwhelming resistance. Jesus said it would happen. They refused to come to the light. I've shared this many times about the hunting story. A friend of mine, when we were young, we got up, we spent the night together and at his house. And Ronnie and I decided we were going to get up real early. We were not supposed to. We were going to get up real early. We were going to go hunting on Sunday morning. And we got our guns and we got out real early before anybody else woke up. And we went hunting. And we were returning to the house before it got daylight. And on this road to the house, there was this big, I don't know what it was. Man, I fell into it was like a cesspool. I mean, I fell into this thing and I was about waist deep in mud and stink stuff. I'm not even sure what it was. But I tell you, I climbed out quick. It was dark. Moon wasn't giving its light. But Ronnie's dad had left the front porch light on. And as I got closer and closer to the front porch, as I got closer to the light, I saw just how soiled my blue jeans were. I started feeling bad because I knew I was caught. That my mom, there was no way I was going to be able to hide this from Mom. And there was a feeling that swelled up inside of me. I'm going to get in trouble. And the closer I got to the light, the more trouble I felt. Listen, the more you move toward Jesus, the worse you're going to feel. Amen. I mean, when your sins are exposed, when you start feeling guilty, when you feel that condemnation, when you sense the responsibility for Jesus' suffering and His death at Calvary, con- Conviction is not a good feeling. It's trouble. It's painful. You sense just how separated you are from God because of your iniquity. And that's when the good news click kicks in. And it'll click in your heart ever so suddenly that Jesus is your only salvation. The night I was in trouble, I had nowhere else to go but Jesus. No one else to turn to for help. I was like David. I know this isn't preached much anymore, but in the 116th Psalm, he said, "I love the Lord because He heard my prayer and my supplication. Because He had inclined His ear unto me." He talked about how that the pains of hell got hold upon him. How he found trouble and sorrow, and then he called on the Lord. I tell you, when the pains of hell get a hold of your soul, there's no one else to turn to. There's no one else to call upon but the name of Jesus. Oh, Jesus, save me. Be my Savior. Be my Lord. Man, that night the gospel clicked in my soul. And I turned to the Savior. I looked to Him. And the moment I looked, I lived. I had life in God. The peace of God came into my heart. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 5, verse 1, he said, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." If there has never been a time in your life where you experienced for yourself the forgiveness of sin, if there's not a time in your life where the peace of God, where God Himself, listen to me, God Himself lets you know that you were saved, you need to seek the Lord with all of your heart and call upon the Lord till you get that. Amen. Till you know that in your heart and life. Jesus said, and I'm going to quote it one more time, get a song, Aaron. We're going to sing. I'm going to invite you to come. I'm glad I'm saved. That God had mercy on me. That I called upon Him. You know, the Bible says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall." The word "shall" is future tense. It means this, that you keep calling on the Lord till He saves you. Don't let anybody misinterpret that. It's future tense. In the Greek, in the original, and in the King James. Shall be future. You call on the Lord till you get saved. He's the only one that can save you. We're going to ask you to come and seek the Lord with all of your heart. I pray today that if you're lost, that you'll come to know Him. I pray that we will never be a hindrance. This church, we need to be stepping stones and not stumbling blocks. Amen. That people can come to Christ. But if that has never happened to you, if you cannot tell about the peace of God, if you cannot tell about the spiritual peace that God gives through His Son, Jesus Christ, when you're born from above, I'm going to quote it one more time. I've quoted this probably 100 times or better since I've been at Victory. It's in John chapter 3, verse 8. Jesus told Nicodemus, who was confused, who had not been saved, who did not see the kingdom of heaven, had not entered the kingdom of God. He said, "The wind bloweth where it listeth. Thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is everyone." Amen. Man, that includes you. Amen. Everyone. Everyone. That is born of the Spirit. If that has not occurred in your life, if you don't have that in your heart, don't let somebody else tell you it's okay, because it's not.
Amen.
Don't let somebody keep you from the knowledge of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. You must know that your sin debt has been canceled. This is eternal life, to know. John chapter 17, verse 3, to know the only true God and His Son whom He has sent. Let the congregation stand. Would you come today? Is there someone here?